I'm Lex Thomas. This is Taste of Premiere, and you're about to get slammed. Woo! Hi, Jessica. How are you today?
Hi. Good, Lex. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, so very excited about today's episode. You know, the Emmett episode that we did a few weeks back has just gone nuts. People really like that technology. And I think Slam is going to be another one that really people get into and people like a lot. So if you don't mind, give us a little background on Slam. Can you tell us what the acronym stands for?
The acronym is actually a backronym. Somebody wanted to use the word SLAM. So, but the name actually says it all. It's Securing Lateral Account Movement, because that's the technique that almost every one of the major compromises this year has involved, where someone gets onto the network through an initial vector, something like a phishing email, gets a regular old workstation, and is able to move laterally one machine at a time throughout the network until they take the whole domain and get everything in there. So that securing lateral account movement is what stops that movement throughout the network.
Ah, so it really, really kind of melds into kind of the pass, the hash, credential theft that we did an earlier episode, you know, on where somebody grabs a credential, and then because they have that credential, they're able to morph that credential into something that's got a little more power in the environment, et cetera.
That's exactly right. It starts with credential theft, but it goes a little bit beyond that. It helps you create a truly least privileged environment with network segmentation as well as the credential tiering.
Yeah. I'm really liking the way we're going, just as a side note. You know, we've got Emmett now. We've got the SLAM stuff, which we're about to learn about. We've got the really cool features in Windows 10 where we can essentially authenticate in a VM so that nothing is exposed. We've got some great ways to make Active Directory more secure. So I'm really liking the way that we're headed.
And don't forget LAPS, the local administrator password solution that we just released for free, which is actually part of the SLAM delivery, where we can help people randomize their local administrator passwords for free. That's a tool they can get today. That's a very exciting development.
Oh, wow. I don't know anything about that. So that's
you'll learn about
that's
that
a
today.
Good one to break up. Yeah, that's yeah. Awesome. I can't wait. Well, I'm ready for the presentation. I hear you have a slide deck for us.
Yeah, I have just a few slides to kind of go over what an attack might look like and sort of the mitigations we go through, because there's some unexpected ways that you can be attacked that I'd like to talk about.
Okay, that's awesome. So without further ado, I guess, let's switch over to the slides and take a look.
So securing lateral account movement. This idea was really born out of the fact that we do incident response at Microsoft as well as proactive engagements, and I'm an incident responder. So building an offering that can help our customers get secure against what the bad guys are actually doing in environments was really important. And I think a good way to kind of set this trend is to set expectations about, you know, this assume breach mindset that we talk about. How likely are you to be breached? Well, it kind of turns out that as human beings, we are kind of bad at assessing risk. Your odds from dying by a vending machine every day are 1 in 112 million.
Unless you're me.
Lex, stop shaking vending machines.
Yeah. I think I live buying food out of vending machines.
You know, every single day, the chance that you might die in a car accident is 1 in 6,700. But the odds that your corporation have been breached are 1 out of 3. And that really, I don't think, resonates with a lot of people. A lot of customers that I deal with, smaller businesses, not top research institutions, maybe they're a big business, but they think what they have isn't interesting. They think this isn't going to happen to them. And the unfortunate fact is it's likely to happen. You as a company don't get to determine your own interestingness factor to bad guys. And it's very likely, because when we connect to the internet, you know, we can get to the internet from everywhere. It's really awesome. But every time you have an IP, there are people that are out to get you. And that's not meant to be scary. But if I can install malware on your computer, it doesn't matter if it belongs to you or Microsoft or to my mom. I can make money off of you. So organized crime is using the internet to deliver malware to make money off of people, things like ransomware, stuff like that. So these sort of commodity, as we refer to them, attacks use the same entrance vectors as something that would be a targeted attack, something like a nation state or an ideological movement, the sort of things you read about in the news. So we want you to build a holistic security strategy that defends you against all attacks. Attackers are attackers, regardless of motivation. So if you're seeing trends on your network, like a lot of ransomware, a lot of things like that happening, that's a good indicator that you need to start thinking about these sort of strategies, because that's telling you that there's a hole in your current defenses.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, if you just want an indication of how really at risk you are, I did this at home. Just to prove to my wife and kids, you know, how dangerous it is to be out there on the internet. I turned off the firewall at my router and I just ran Netmon for a few minutes. And it's just amazing how many SYN requests I get from, how many, you know, connection attempts you get from just all over the place.
Yeah.
Unsolicited, you know, where people are just probing to see what's available, probing to see what ports are available, et cetera. And that's not to mention, you know, the threat that you get from somebody sending you some, you know, attachment, an email or something along those lines that contains some malware code or some bad code. In fact, I bought a product at Best Buy, went home, logged into Amazon, and sure enough, you know, within a couple of seconds, I had an ad for that product on Amazon. So all of these places are connected as well. So, you know, somebody breaches Corporation A, and they've got some information on you, you know, that they can use to breach your environment. And so it's just amazing how prolific it's become.
And it's really not just prolific from the sort of thing you brought up first, you know, people doing port scanning. You know, that's the mindset that a lot of people still have, is that perimeter firewall. But in reality, the endpoint is the new perimeter, because my hobby project at Microsoft is actually CryptoLocker ransomware malware research. And the delivery vector that we're seeing become more and more popular, and why we're seeing such a spike in that malware delivery, is because it's being delivered through these things called exploit kits that get embedded into web pages. So just visiting a legitimate web page is enough for many people to get malware. If they have out-of-date Flash or Java, if they visit a legitimate web page that has code injected into it, they're getting malware. The end of story. They are getting malware. And that's been used not just for the ransomware types, but we've seen some major news publications, things like that, that have been compromised solely for the sake of getting nation-state type malware targeted attacks into corporations. So it's super scary, because that concept that you have to do something wrong to get malware, you have to double click on an attachment, you have to fall for the free prescription medicines line or something like that. No, it's as easy as visiting a web page. And I think that really turns the landscape upside down for a lot of people, because it's a misunderstanding of how that vector can get on there, whether it be targeted or commodity, same vector.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what many people have seen this slide before, if they've ever seen a Microsoft presentation, our little evil guy with a beanie in the aviators. That's how you know he's a bad guy. But he's going to target the workstations in your environment with malware, because that workstation, that's the new perimeter. He's not going to smack up against your firewall all day long, because you're probably looking there, and there's probably not a lot of perimeter ports he can get in. But if he can get into that workstation, he can install a piece of malware that takes advantage of the fact that that firewall is stateful, and it will allow it to keep open connections over 80 and 443. Those are web ports, the things you can't block, because people get mad when, you know, Bing and Twitter and stuff goes away. So it's going to use those ports to allow the bad guy to maintain access onto those machines. And once he has access on those machines, he does it through a vulnerability 9 times out of 10 in a piece of third-party software. There's out-of-date Flash or Java on the machine. So many people have out-of-date Java because of a mission-critical application of some kind, and they need to have it. Otherwise, their business doesn't make money. But the bad guy knows that. he takes advantage of that out-of-date Java, which can escalate to an elevation of privilege on the Windows system. So then he's running a system on a Windows box, which is game over. He can dump your credentials, he can install more malware, he can do whatever he wants. So after he gets that malware into the system, gets somebody compromised, he's running a system, he can then harvest credentials off of this box. And those credentials, it may be, you know, just someone who, you know, maybe they're the receptionist at the company or something like that, not a lot of privileges on the environment. Or he might have gone directly after someone like a domain admin. And if it's a domain admin who's doing something like a shift right click run as another user for Active Directory users and computers, that means those credentials are present. A lot of people think doing that behavior would mean that they're safe there. But he can also go after the local administrator passwords. If the local administrator passwords are matching throughout the environment, he can grab those and go anywhere he wants. So he grabs those credentials, he grabs something useful off that first machine, and goes about the network until he gets somebody with domain admin privileges. Then he can use a tool, something like NinjaCopy, which is a completely silent way to do this, to connect to your domain controller and copy off your ntds.dit, the Active Directory database. And then he has everything. He has the password of the CEO, the password of the CFO, the password for the KRB TGT account, so he can create something called a golden ticket if he wants to. He owns your environment. You are simply maintaining a network for a bad guy. So that's how easy it is at the vast majority of these compromises. And it's something that we can prevent, which is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah, it just gets scarier and scarier out there.
It's going to get scarier because I have a pop quiz for you, Lex. Okay. Can you guess how many days an attacker is on the network before they're discovered?
I saw that. It's I think a year and a half or something along those lines. It's some crazy number.
So in 2013, it was 233 days. And as a person who does forensic investigation, if they've been on the network for 233 days, I'm probably not figuring out what they touched or where they went, because that data is going to roll. And in reality, that first slide, that can happen within minutes in the vast majority of customers. So he compromised your network within 10, 15, 45 minutes and has been there doing whatever he wants for 233 days.
Yeah, so, and remember, 233 is the average, right? So some people get caught right away, and that's kind of skewing it a little bit. Some people don't get caught for years.
Well, in the Verizon data breach report, they found that only 9% of customers discover their own compromise. And in talking to somebody who wrote that report, he said that only 1% of that 9% actually discovered it through monitoring. The other 8% found it by accident. The attacker had done something dumb. So that's why the more preventative controls we can put on the network, the more detective controls we can get, the more early warning system we can get alerted to this. So Pass-the-hash is a big part of this, credential theft in general. Pass-the-hash takes advantage of the fact that he had system on the box, and he can dump the memory of the LSAS process, which holds all the reusable credentials that are used for single sign-on. And NTLM is a legacy authentication protocol. It means it's vulnerable to essentially just using the two most dangerous hacking tools on the planet, Control-C and Control-V, and cutting and pasting that hash in and reusing it. And that is a big part of these compromises. But what we stress in the lateral account movement preventions is that there is life after NTLM. There are attacks that use Kerberos. There are attacks that use plain text passwords. So we want to build a strategy that's going to prevent not just pass the hash, but help prepare you for the Windows 10 world, where pass the hash isn't as useful. It's not as effective, because this doesn't really work all that well in Windows 10 right now. So we want to build a really robust security strategy that will work for multiple types of attacks. Because here's something I don't think a lot of people know. Most of these tools, Windows Credential Editor, Mimikatz, these hacking or security research tools, they can take advantage of getting plain text passwords as well. There's a function called wdigest, which is for legacy authentication, again, another legacy authentication protocol. But it's enabled in Windows 7, and you can enable it in Windows 8.1. There's actually a downgrade attack in Mimikatz right now to do it. And if I can get a plain text password, I can avoid threat detection systems that are designed to attack or to detect past the hash. So as we're making more and more investments into awesome technology, like small plug for advanced threat analytics, I know you're going to do a session on it probably, but we have advanced threat analytics that can detect past the hash, golden ticket, past the ticket type attacks. But bad guys are going to pick up that we're getting better and better at detecting that. So there's been a shift to go back and use the plain text passwords again. So we need to build defenses that it doesn't matter how you're authenticating as that person, but we're going to prevent you from moving about the network.
Right. Yeah, so that's both scary and awesome.
I'm very good at scaring people, apparently. This has been my favorite attack vector of the year so far, so much so that I presented it at a conference this week. This is why controlling your group policies is important. Someone who was a help desk administrator had access to edit group policies in this environment. And that's helpful, right? You know, that's somebody who doesn't, then the domain admin doesn't have to do all the work, everything else like that. The help desk person, who is probably easier to compromise, had gotten compromised, and they'd taken their account, and they had created a group policy and attached it to the domain admin's regular workstation, you know, just the workstation he uses all day long. And it looked like this. So if you go to the group policy and you look at this script, if you're doing an audit of any kind, you're probably not going to freak out about this, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's a PowerShell command that's executing a policy bypass with a file name that looks innocuous.
Yep. Inside of that PowerShell script is actually a command called invoke-mimikatz, which is credential theft software. So they were using this registry key to maintain persistence to dump credentials on that machine. And that was the machine of the domain admin, who thought they were doing the right thing because they had a secondary domain admin account and they were using run as a different user to do their administrative tools. So they knew they weren't surfing the web as a domain admin, they weren't checking their email, but those credentials and that output.txt file contained the domain admin's credentials. So there's a really important point from this being used in a compromise is we have to make sure that we help people do all the right things, because they did some of the practices, they had split accounts, you know, and they were doing right things, but we have to make sure that we harden against the possibilities that bad guys are using. And this is a very scary one. I liked this one a lot because it was clever.
Yeah, that's pretty ingenious.
So one of the points I wanted to make is getting a slam offering, which I'll talk about what's inside of that, is awesome. Premier customers, we're going to talk about it. Hopefully you're going to love it. But there are a lot of places that you can get guidance from Microsoft on how to do better in your environment that I don't think are terribly well documented. So I wanted to put them in here. We have a new tool called the Local Administrator Password Solution, or LAPS. And this is free, absolutely free. And you can go out and you can download this. And this is a fully supported Microsoft way to randomize the local administrator passwords of the computers in your network, which from that slide with the little guy with a beanie, if your passwords are different on every machine, that stops one of his attack vectors right there. So LAPS is 100% free. It's out there. You can go out and you can get it, and you can deploy this in your environment right now. Super exciting. Yep. So we have the Past the Hash white papers, which I'm sure Mark talked about in his session if you haven't watched that. We have Best Practices for Securing Active Directory, which is pretty much the finest white paper ever. Laura Robinson did a bang-up job writing that, because it's going to talk to you about not just domain controllers. It is not domain controller hardening. It's about building an organization that protects that NTDS DIT from getting stolen. We have Emmet, which is exploit protection. So it's not just 0 days. Emmet will protect you against bad guy behavior, and it shims itself into processes, and it augments your antivirus. So Malwarebytes says 86% of malware exists only once, I think. I think that was their quote. Emmet protects you from the behavior, so you're not reliant on a signature. And Emmet also does something called certificate pinning. So Emmet is the only product we have right now that can authoritatively protect you against man-in-the-middle type attacks, where if you're on the network and somebody's intercepting your traffic and then stealing your money type of thing. And then I put two blogs in here that I don't think are well known, which is the Security Research and Defense blog, or the SRD blog. And that's where we talk about the vulnerabilities that have been discovered, what the real details are on them. Because there have been a couple things we've patched recently that you actually have to do steps after you get the patch. The patch itself doesn't fix it. So pay attention to SRD, because that's where we'll tell you what the threat is, how it might affect you, and how you can mitigate it in your environment. And MMPC is our malware protection. They actually do the research on the malware. So some cool places you can go right now, even before we talk about going out and getting slammed, and actually start to protect your environment better.
Wow. Awesome.
I know, right? So inside a SLAM, what do we do? So let me show you a pretty graphic first, and then we'll go back to death by PowerPoint, because this is really effective, because you remember the bad guy. So first thing we do is we do credential partitioning. We make sure that the domain admins, the server admins, the domain admins can't log into the data tier, the servers. The domain admins can't log into workstations. Then those credentials aren't there to be harvested. We make sure the server admins can't log into workstations. Same thing for service accounts, because service accounts have been part of pretty much every breach I've worked this year. Somebody's taking advantage of a service account. A service account should be denied interactive logon, denied the ability to get into workstations, all that stuff like that. And we take care of that in SLAM. So we make sure that doesn't happen. Then we prevent lateral traversal, that moving about the network. We prevent local accounts from being used across the network. And you might be thinking, why? local accounts are very dangerous and very popular with attackers because they don't follow password policies. So even if you're randomizing local administrator passwords, if you've got a product like CyberArk or Lieberman, which are awesome, we still need to do this work. So if you have CyberArk, you have Lieberman, we still need to augment it with the SLAM offering type of controls. Because local accounts, if a bad guy has gotten onto your network at one point in time, he can create a backdoor account on something like a SQL server. He can call it Bob, right? And then to get back into your network, all he would have to do, let's say they format the workstation he compromises in the first place. He just compromises another workstation, yet another flash exploit or something like that, and then he just RDPs directly back into that SQL server as Bob. Because Bob's password won't expire. Bob isn't, you know, under all those different things we are. And then he's right back in your data tier getting your important stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm scary. Local accounts have traditionally been very hard to manage because you had to specify them in a GPO by name. We actually backported some features from Windows 8.1, and I'll link the KB article here, so that we can actually use a new well-known SID we created to just prevent local accounts from being used. So this is easy and wildly effective. Then we do the same thing with domain accounts. Now this one's a little bit harder because we're going to have to work with you to figure out, you know, where these accounts are being used, how to get them to a least privileged environment. But then we can take those domain accounts that would have deep and wide privilege, because those are two dangerous things, like a help desk administrator. If a help desk administrator has access to the CFO's machine, I'm just going to go to them and get the data I need to do insider trading, right? So this is what we do. We prevent those from being used across the world to kind of just gather that data and crawl about your network. Then we take care of those service accounts and those applications that might be doing risky things, and we work with the firewall. Whether it's the Windows firewall or another endpoint firewall, unfortunately in 2015, endpoint and server firewalls aren't optional anymore. And I know that's a very strong statement, but there are so many tools like the PowerShell exploit kits that take advantage of attacking there, where even if we had done so many of those mitigations we recommend in the Pass the Hash white paper, all those group policy things, I could still get into the system with stolen credentials if the firewall was off. And also the firewall gets you really good logging. You can use the firewall to develop a view of what's happening on your network. You could get this into your centralized logging and say, the top talker on my network this week was malware.exe. Wonder what that is, right? So we deal with all those things. And then, and here's where the picture gets better, so I stop being scary for a second. It's so much harder to own that domain. It becomes really, really hard to steal your ntds.dit. And every time that they're moving about that network and hitting up against one of those red lines, we're going to have an event ID, something that we can authoritatively say, someone is doing something fishy on my network. Maybe I should go look at that. Because without the protective controls, we don't get the detective controls, right? So then the bad guy sends out that malware. He might get that first machine, but he's not going anywhere. And if you go back and you put Emmett into the equation, he might not even get that first machine, too. So this is a really powerful thing. This is what you get at the end of the SLAM offering. You get this sort of holistic prevention of a lot of bad on your network.
Yeah, I was scared, but now I feel better.
Yeah, this is the cookies, milk, and teddy bears portion of this session.
Yeah, no, seriously, that's awesome.
I know, this is, I don't want to sound braggy, but I think this is probably, if you can only get one security offering from Microsoft, I think this is the best one to get. Like, if your Premier contract is smaller and you can only do one offering this year, just the overall benefit that you can get out of here is so big. Because you saw, I'll go back, you saw that picture, right? You know, there's so much that we can do inside of this offering. So if you're looking at your Premier contract and you're wondering, you know, oh, I can only do one more offering, which one I should do? If you can answer two or three questions on your own, you know, do I have matching local administrator passwords? Is my firewall off? Can domain admins log into workstations? Are they being denied that right? If you've answered yes to any one of those, maybe we skip the assessment and just go straight to the fixing if you can only do that one offering, because it's this powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Good news. So what is SLAM? We talked about SLAM, we talked about the problem, we talked about some of the things that you can do to mitigate. But POPSLAM, which is Proactive Operations Program, which means that we don't just come and teach you stuff, we help you do stuff, which is huge. It's a proactive offering. We do deep technical detail and then implementation assistance. Most of what we do is based on the Pass the Hash white paper, but we've enhanced a little bit more on top of that based on our findings from doing incident response at major compromises. So this is a constantly evolving offering where we keep adding to it. It's 3 days. That first day is full-on onslaught, drinking from the fire hose, deep technical education. We're going to cover what the cyber threat landscape looks like, how you get malware, what might be after you, what are the vulnerabilities that might be there on your network, how do we know what type of authentication methods might be bad, how do we identify what authentication methods I'm using, how can I track down where a service account is being used, how do I use the Windows firewall? Because the Windows firewall is very, very misunderstood. It's incredibly powerful. It's relatively easy to manage. It's got a central console now. And I don't think a lot of documentation has been put around how to use it. The SLAM offering contains an entire unit, which is probably the finest documentation you'll ever see on the Windows firewall and IPsec. Because IPsec is a technology, IP security, that allows you inside of the Windows firewall to create what I call identity-based firewalls, network access controls based on who you are. So if you have an HR file share, for instance, we can use Kerberos authentication principles to ensure that the only people who can get to that HR file share on the network are the people in the HR group, which would be maintained by our identity management system. So long before we get into the NTFS file system, ACLs, anything like that, they can't even see it on the network. So Windows firewall with some IPsec stuff like that can prevent not only bad guy attacker behavior, but a lot of penetration tester techniques, because they do different things than the real attackers. And that can prevent a lot of that. So huge, deep onslaught, deep technical education day. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a lot of fun. Every one of my customers has enjoyed it. And then we spend the next 2 days where we go over the things that we talked about in the first day, and we focus on what's most important to your environment. If you've already got CyberArk or Lieberman, maybe we don't do LAPS. If you've got, you know, a really strong problem with you know, making sure that you can do centralized administration from a trusted workstation, we'll dive right into firewall. We cover everything. We make sure you get your hands on all the technology that matters to you, but this is tailored to what you're looking for. And there's actually a spreadsheet at the end of the offering which covers all of the mitigations that we do. And we put them into order of most technically powerful, and then we give two columns we work with you. Because there's an unfortunate fact of life that when you get something like an educational offering or something like that, you have a real job. As a customer, they have real jobs. Yeah. And this stuff sort of tends to fall by the wayside. We think these important mitigations are so important that we want to make sure that you have guidelines for what's going to do the most reduction in attack surface for your environment. And we do dwell in the land of reality. We understand there are two barriers to implementation. There's technical and there's political. Because as we start to go about your network, taking away maybe admin rights from things, potentially disrupting applications as we move them to least privilege models, that's going to be hard organizationally. So we take those 30 or so mitigations and we scale them out, you know, because if something's medium hard technically, but very hard politically, maybe we don't do it right away. But maybe there's something else we can do to start to reduce that threat landscape. Because if it's all or nothing, people tend to do nothing. So we really do tailor making sure that we start to help you get these implementation things done in a way that makes sense to your organization, which I think is phenomenal. I used to be a customer, so that's the kind of thing that I like.
Yeah, I just love the fact that, you know, we have all of these great, you know, just incredibly effective cyber offerings now, and SLAM just adds to that.
Absolutely. SLAM is complementary. I mean, you know, ESAE, SLAM, Emmet, you know, that's the whole, all the things that we can do. Because, you know, after you get SLAM, after you've been protected, maybe you want to add Microsoft Threat Detection Service on top of it. That's where we look through your crash dumps and we find whether that malware was commodity or targeted in your environment. There's so many things we can do, and it's a very exciting time.
It is. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of customers out there, both, you know, in the private sector and government customers that wish that, you know, we had these technologies 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that, you know, kind of wish that we could do some of the things that we can do today just a few years ago, because it's just amazing how much, I mean, you see it every day in the news, right? You see all of these breaches at all of these agencies, government agencies, private firms, you know, the Target breach a while back, the Office of Personnel Management that happened, you know, a few months back. And it's just crazy the amount of money and data and time that gets lost in one of these attacks, and they're absolutely preventable now.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, all the investments in security we've made, all the improvements, it just keeps getting better. But a really important thing about the SLAM offering is the vast majority of the controls we talk about have been around since Server 2003. So if you are in an organization where, due to, you know, business needs, you can't immediately jump to the newest technologies, this is still the offering for you, because we can start to do, we can do everything we talk about in this offering all the way back to, I know Server 2003 is not supported anymore, but we Right. could do it back when Server 2003 was in the environment. So if you have legacy needs, or you're sitting here thinking, I don't have Server 2012, this might not apply to me. Nope. Server 2008 R2, we're good to go. Windows 7, we're good to go. We can make this work for you.
That's awesome.
I know. Well, I mean, it's the realm of reality. Windows 10 is an amazing operating system, and I want you to roll to it as soon as you can, because you know, there's a lot of really cool things from a security space, not just the preventative controls, but the detective controls that we'll be able to offer you if you're on Windows 10. But, you know, we don't always land in the world of make-believe, right? We know that there's going to be people that can't move there immediately, especially for certain systems. SLAM can still help you secure those systems.
Yeah.
So those mitigations, those things that go all the way back to Server 2003 when we had it and we supported it, these are things that, you know, are living in group policy. They're things that are very easy to configure. So you probably have a group policy investment in your environment right now. You're probably using it to, you know, do printers or homepage settings. We can do almost all of this through group policy. So we do those account usage restrictions, that credential tiering, that's based in group policy. We use restricted groups to make sure that we're authoritative of who is an administrator on the system, so we can alert if that changes. The firewall, that's all controlled through group policy. The local administrator passwords, if you don't already have that done in your domain, doing that with LAPS, that's controlled through group policy as well. We'll help you investigate those legacy authentication protocols, because a big part of the SLAM offering is actually monitoring. Monitoring is such a hard thing to do. It sounds so easy. Watch for compromise. Good, we're done here, right? No. Because so many people are getting too many alerts about stuff that doesn't matter. So we give you guidance on what to monitor for. You know, what are your critical events? What looks like a bad thing? The NSA has a fabulous white paper. It's called Spotting the Adversary with Windows Event Forwarding. And we help them write that as Microsoft. And there's a lot of guidance in there. that is perfect. And we use a lot of that guidance in this offering, so making sure you're monitoring the right things. And then we can track down those legacy authentication protocols. Because we don't just care about those legacy authentication protocols. We want to protect you against more than just pass the hash. Pass the hash, thank goodness, has gotten a lot of press from Microsoft recently. But there are other attacks, there are other ways to do things, and there are other ways to get about the the network, and we can help you with that in SLAM. And we talk about some new mitigations that were actually released in 8.1 in 2012. But we did the smart thing. Microsoft as a company said, okay, we want people to move to newer operating systems, but some of this stuff is too important to wait. So in KB article 2871997, because I have that memorized, we actually backported a lot of the mitigations from Windows 8.1 in 2012 to Server 2008 R2 in Windows 7. So things like protections against LSAS injection, things about credential theft, that local account principle for building GPOs, those are available to you now, even on Windows 7 2008 R2, and we can start to use them to do that. So this is very exciting. This is the stuff we cover, if you will. So it seems like a lot, but it's actually very scalable and easy to do in an environment because it's based on group policy, which means you can do it and a slow rollout, organizational unit by organizational unit. So very exciting stuff.
So I have to say that every time I hear, you know, about one of these offerings, I get more and more excited about the way that we're headed in the cybersecurity realm. You know, these are just awesome for protecting our customers.
They are. They really are. And I'm excited. You know, I'm relatively new to Microsoft, but I'm excited as a person who's been watching Microsoft for some time about the whole direction we're going and the direction we're going with Premier offerings where, you know, we are really tailoring it to your environment and we're tailoring it to the threat landscape. It's not making assumptions. You know, a lot of times we used to say, if they get administrative access on the box, that's not something we're worrying about. That's not the case anymore. We're really dealing with what happened at those compromises you see in the news, dealing with reality of compromises, and taking the fact that we are a world-class incident response company as well, and feeding that data directly in to what our customers can get, which is, I don't think a lot of people know that we do that. I don't think it's been well documented that we are incident responders, we are on the cutting edge of this technology.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think people know about that aspect of Premier and the support that we do and just our cybersecurity efforts enough. And hopefully, you know, these are the types of things that this show will help, you know, propagate around so that people are more aware of it.
Hey, we do stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and not only stuff, but really cool stuff.
We do industry-leading type of things, and I think you'll see that more and more, and we talked a lot about it at Ignite, and, you know, there's exciting stuff coming.
Awesome. Hey, you want to do another one?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. Well, I can't wait. You mentioned some of our other offerings. I'm pretty excited about the admin password stuff. That would be cool. Maybe we can sit down after the show and figure out some other episodes that we can do.
Okay, to be continued.
To be continued, absolutely. All right, well, guys, without further ado, I guess it's time for us to leave you again. So that's your taste of Premier.